Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Tonight, I want to talk to us quickly on the blessedness of soul winning. We are graduating people, and so it's important for us to talk along this line. There are three major things that is cardinal in the heart of the Father. All the blessings God gives us, all the anointings, all the empowerments, all the positions are designed to achieve three major things. And if you are a Christian, these three things are the things that will define the value of your life. The first thing that is cardinal in the heart of God is intimacy with the Father. The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 9, it said the Lord's portion is his people. It said Jacob is my possession. And so God's priority, God's greatest desire is to find people, a generation with a heart beating, panting after God. That's why Jesus was speaking in John chapter 4 verse 24. He said, there is something the Father seeks. And he said, it's worshippers. Worshippers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is looking for that generation that still has the power to sustain and to keep her first love. There are many persons that are in the pursuit of things and have forgotten that the priority of our existence is to have a talking and walking relationship with the Holy Spirit. He said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Spirit rest and abide with you. The quality of your life begins to increase as your intimacy with God begins to increase. You will discover that your health will burst forth as your intimacy with God increases. You will discover that wisdom for strategic living will become sharper and more precise as your intimacy with God increases. That wisdom is what will help you to even make money, because you will take decisions that has foresight that the ordinary mind cannot comprehend. And so when a man grows in intimacy, the quality of his life is the byproduct of that intimacy. God rubs off favor on his life. God gives him wisdom to develop things, wisdom to take decisions that men cannot articulate. And you see that even in the natural, his life begins to grow. His life begins to excel. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, all these other things that the Gentiles seek shall be added to you. So God's pursuit is not for you to have money. His pursuit is not for you to be healthy necessarily. His pursuit is not for you to have a breakthrough. His pursuit is to colonize you, to have an experiential relationship with him. But God also knows that as you are building that relationship with him, every other thing in your life will begin to work. That's why he said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. So when you seek God, when you walk with God, the quality of your life will explode in an unprecedented fashion. This is why intimacy is God's first agenda. The second thing that is cardinal in the heart of the Father is so willing and so discipleship to win people to God and to build them up to have intimacy with God so that they can also be sent out to win others. So word evangelism, so winning, and global discipleship is God's second priority as far as his dealing with humankind is concerned. In John chapter 3 verse 16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So the reason God sent Jesus was to win you and I back to him. He said, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So God will not spare anything to see that everyone is saved. The Bible speaking in John chapter 3 verse 8, it says, "For this cause is the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The power of sin that has kept you and I as rebels is what Jesus came to atone for. And when he atones for it, he now brings us into a relationship with the Father. And now that he has paid the price and he has gone back to heaven, what he's looking for is the people that will go out. And so when you read your Bible, the last thing God did, Jesus did with his disciples, was to commission them. In Matthew 28 verse 18, "Go into all the world and disciple all nations." In Mark 16 verse 15 to 17, "Go into all the world, disciple all nations. Those that believe, baptize them. These signs shall follow them that believe." In John 20, 21, "As the Father hath sent me, so also send I you." So God's second agenda is to see that the whole world is evangelized. And the only way that will be possible is when you and I become foot soldiers that the Holy Ghost will ride upon. Remember, after Jesus resurrected to heaven, Peter suddenly became creative and said, "I go a fishing." And Jesus had to return from heaven, went to the river and met Peter. "Is it fish you are looking for? Cast your net." And he had a great catch and he roasted it and said, "Eat." Since fish is your priority. That was when Peter said, "Oh, my Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Lovest thou me more than this? I didn't come into this world to get you food to eat until your stomach explodes. I came into this world to win the whole world. And now you are the representative of that assignment as far as heaven is concerned." Every one of us must become ardent soul winners because evangelism is God's priority. The Bible said God does not want anyone to perish. He said, but he wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. How is that going to happen? Except as you and I become active in word evangelism. Because that is the heartbeat of the Father. Jesus was speaking, he said, if one soul is won, he said, there is great joy before the presence of my Father. So God is giving us an idea, the significance of soul before God. The whole of heaven goes agog, not for 1,000 souls, one soul. He said, for every one soul that is won, heaven rejoice. So Jesus didn't come because we are many. Jesus came because the Father will not allow any soul to perish. So he will play his part to see that souls are won. And now that the part has been played, because the claims of divine justice has been met, God expects you and I who have the truth to go out there and win souls. Because it is a priority in the heart of God. The second thing that holds significance in the kingdom of God is evangelism. Winning the lost back to the Father. The third thing that holds significance in the heart of God is systemic and territorial colonization. God wants the kingdom of this world to become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. When Eden was created, it was the plan of the Father that the civilization of heaven that was downloaded to Eden will spread to all the world. So that the influence of God, the will of the Father, and the government of God will dominate the visible creation. And so from family to secular institutions like banks, like schools, you know, to systemic operations like the media, God wants his influence to dominate there. So that the fear of God will determine how men think. And the love of the Father will be the driving force that powers our motivation and our action. But when you look around you today, there is darkness in the world. Why do you think God gives positions to believers? It's not just because he wants them to make more money. God gives positions to believers because they are ambassadors that are sent there. Why do you think God positions men in territories? It's not just for them to live in elite societies. He positions them in territories because if his influence will enter that territory, they will have to bring it. And so the reason we are in positions of authority is to give us legitimacy to write the laws and the policies that determine how the system runs. The reason we are in territories is so that we bring the power and the presence of God through our priesthood, so that the will of the Father will be the driving force of that civilization. So God is interested in taking over systems. It is the desire of God that everyone on Facebook will fear the name of the Lord. It is the desire of God that everyone on Twitter will carry and live by the love of the Father. And so when we invade Twitter, when we invade Facebook, we are not going there because we want to socialize. We are going there to enforce the mandate of Zion, until as many as encounter us will submit to God. So that when you look through the pages of Facebook, instead of seeing naked women, you will see miracle signs and wonders. When people chat on Facebook, instead of talking about killing, maiming, fornication, they'll be talking about the glory of the Father. They'll be talking about taking over their world. Services going on there, and every nook and cranny of human civilization is dominated by the kingdom. This is the thing that moves God. Every king wants to take over territories so that his reign and his influence will not only infiltrate but will dominate such territories. This is why we are here, and that is the priority of the Father. And so a generation of intimacy, intimates of God, a generation passionate about soul winning, and a generation trained, built, equipped, and strategic in operation, sufficient to dominate systems, must rise. If you are in a bank for 20 years and nothing about Jesus has been added to the operations of that bank, it means you don't know who you are. If you are in a university and the influence, the will, and the operations of the kingdom has not begun to take root there, it means you don't know why you are there. You don't know nothing about systemic takeover. You don't know nothing about colonization. And if you don't, it means your presence is a waste. Why are we wearing suit today? Because an ecclesia came from England and forced suit on us. And today we love wearing suit so much that our identity is defined by suit. Our pride, our confidence is defined by it. In Nigeria today, people feel they are elite. People feel they have capacity for leadership because they speak good English. We have so weaponized English language that English language is what determines whether somebody succeeds or fails. You will be shocked that somebody may have credit in economics, credit in commerce, credit in government, but they will not admit him in a university to study art because he didn't have credit in English. And the person may be frustrated in life. This is somebody who has critical thinking enough to pass. So you are wondering, what is the language for? Are we looking at the application of the language, or we are looking at... Because if I don't understand the meaning of collocation, but I can use English to pass economics, why will I be a waste? That means they are not interested in the application of the language. They are interested in dominating you using the language. So long as you don't know the intricacies of the language, you are irrelevant. Somebody can use English to pass mathematics, but is still irrelevant in society. How did you now write that mathematics? How did you write the government? How did you write the... So we have empowered language much more than what it should hold. And so you can speak your language, but you feel irrelevant because you can't speak English with an accent. And I'm not saying you shouldn't speak good English. But what I'm saying is that the influence of colonization remains with us up till this day. Do you know that most of our intellectuals, creative individuals, have become a waste in society just because they couldn't pass English language? That's to show you what colonization does to a people. You can come to an interview, you are the best engineer, but you can't speak English. They will tell you, go back. And So if colonization is that powerful, what do you think God wants? The King of England is not here, but you are drinking tea every morning. You are wearing suit and feeling important. In fact, even your confidence level changes because you dress like an Englishman, whereas you will never be one. You are as black as I am. Your head is as thick. Your hair is as thick as my own. No matter how you do the accent or gasa, you are an African. But they have colonized us. We now draw value from their culture. That's the power of colonization. When God looks at the earth, He wants those who dwell on the earth to feel and draw their relevance from the life and the culture of heaven. So when a man can hear the voice of God, that is value. When a man can encounter the presence of God, that is value. When a man can move in the power of God, that is value. When a man lives by the word of God, that is value. So when you enter a territory, people should no longer pride themselves by suits and by speaking English, but by the dimensions of God that they can communicate. That's what God wants to see, so that earth can become another colony of heaven. If that is not achieved, then our presence here is irrelevant. So this is not even about building church auditoriums. This is about the shape, the nature, and the texture of the bank on Monday. The shape, the nature, and the texture of the university on Monday. When you go there, what does it look like? You need to go to some of the Arab nations. That's when you will see the excellency of colonization. You know, we think that socialization is to excuse spiritual influence. That is where we missed it. Some of the most excellent nations in the world are Arab nations. Take a trip to Dubai. Go to Qatar. Go to Kuwait. From the airport, you will almost be stranded. I was in Doha last week. If you see the excellence, the skill, the creativity, just at the airport, you will think that Africa is a zoo. Inside airport, they have what they call garden lounge. They built a full-blown garden inside the building. As you are walking, you are seeing creativity. And the other, I saw a wall that what it looked like water was flowing on the wall. Even white people were touching it. So what is happening here? Intelligence. Yet, you will never see any lady with her hair outside. The influence of their belief system is rigidly ingrained in that height of elitist operation, because they know that you cannot separate your conviction from your socialization. The day you do that, you become secular and you are no longer relevant. And so they have not become too civilized to violate the things that define them. But a Christian, the moment he has a degree or travels from here to maybe Benin Republic, he comes back as a learned man. And his idea of being learned is no longer to have relationship with God. When you talk about God, they say, oh, this religious fanatic. You are a primitive person. I'm telling you what colonization is. If you land in an Arab nation, even if you don't know the name of the country, if you look around for 2 minutes, you will know that you are in a Muslim-dominated territory. Nobody needs to talk to you. You will behave yourself immediately. The atmosphere is surrounded by the influence of the spirit of Islam. Violate it, you will see what will happen to you. Whereas in Christianity, we don't compare people. We don't force people. We don't terrorize people. We don't oppress people. It has to be an organic operation of the Holy Ghost. And the people mandated to transmit the life of God is you and I sitting here. And so we begin from intimacy into evangelism into systemic takeover. And that is what should define who we are. Go to the internet. All the naked ladies are Christians. You see Martha. Martha is coming like a prostitute. But you will never see Amina. All of you go to Harvard. How did your own education in Harvard translate to nakedness? And Amina also went to Harvard. But there was something binding her.
and she could not change. Both of you read chemistry. Both of you read medicine. Both of you read cyber security. How did your own cyber security translate to nakedness? Because we don't understand kingdom. These guys will pay money to buy positions in Western civilization so that they can bring Islam there. At first, we heard that the mayor of London was a Muslim. Now there are over 6 mayors in London, in England, who are Muslims. And they are invading territories. When they come into any city, they buy a whole territory. The rich people gather together, buy it. Even in the rural places, you come, you hear it's Hausa quarters. Go there and see what will happen. They will dominate everywhere. If you touch the air, you will feel Islam. Before the day breaks, 5 o'clock, there are speakers everywhere on every street. They are shouting, "You must come under this government." They understand colonization. We don't. That's why, although Islam began 600 years after Christian, but they are spreading like wildfire. I'm not saying God is not doing anything, but I'm saying our consciousness of systemic takeover is low. So when a Christian goes to a bank, his glory is that I've gotten a new job, breakthrough has come. He shares his testimony in church and he thinks it's over. Users of God. But when a Muslim goes to the bank, the first question he's asking, the first agitation is that, where can we start praying here? And he will tell you, if it's 12 o'clock, we must pray. So if you don't give him a prayer place, he will put his mat in his office and start praying there. Because he's telling you that what he believes is superior to this job. And he will fight until you create a position, a place of prayer. And no matter how rigid that bank is, you know that you can't stop him by 12 o'clock on Friday. He will rather give up that job. And when he gives it up, he will tell you, go to hell. What did they know? What were they taught? But a Christian, even if you organize prayer, they will come and say, stop this religion here. Stop this religion. Is this a place of prayer? Is this church? This is bank. If you want to pray, go to church. And they think they are learned. I'm not talking about the religiosity of not being excellent at your job and just doing religion. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm talking about a people that have a heart to take over systems. There are many campuses in Nigeria today. Riots break out because they refuse to give them a land to build mosque. And if these guys are driving, when it's 12 on Friday, they will pack trailer in the middle of the sun, kneel down there and they are praying. Call a Christian for prayer meeting. If you don't put AC there, he won't pray. And even that prayer, if it becomes long, he will go away. Do you know the pride of a Muslim man? For his forehead to be black. You know what that means? He has not that hair on the ground until he gives you an idea of the hours he has invested on the altar of prayer. So when their forehead, his head is black, they are proud about it. They want to rub off their religion on your face. And I'm not saying advanced religion. I'm saying become conscious that there is a government that is breaking into the earth and you are the agent of that government. This is the priority of God. And so when God visits the bank, he's asking these Christians that are here, what are they doing? And we don't know the heartbeat of the Father. We don't know the burdens of the Father. We are secular people. We think we are social people. And we don't carry the weight of the kingdom. And the worst part now is that we have done it so much in the world, we are bringing it into church. Today, church is like club. Every raining step from the gutters of the club is what they are dancing on the altar. So even when they come to church, that 2 hours of reverence, they can't keep themselves. They think they are eating them so much. And you see very carnal people who know nothing about God trying to invent the operation of a strange spirit into church. A generation must rise. A generation that has the body to see that everywhere that man has business, Jesus will reign. That's the generation God is raising. This is not about building church auditoriums necessarily. This is about raising the people that have the stature and the rank to bring Jesus to a territory and insist that Jesus must be worshipped. And
because of their presence, it will happen. Daniel and his friends were just four of them. They said, if we perish, we perish. He said, we are not careful to answer you on this matter, O king. Cast us into the lake of fire. We will go there gladly. Our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't save us, we will not bow. That's the generation we are looking for. People who are dogged and they can bring kingdom anywhere they enter. Listen, when you leave this meeting tonight, even if you don't hear anything, you must become aggressive. Rebel against worldliness and rebel against any other spirit dominating you where you walk. Even if you cannot establish kingdom there, you refuse to be colonized. Let everybody know that you are a man of God. Let everybody know that you are a woman of God. So when they enter that bank, if they want to share money, they will say, don't go there, it will spoil. That man is a man of God. If they want to do anything that is corruption, they should be afraid. Even if they are discussing evil, if you enter, they should stop and say, well done, sir. Where are you going to? Okay, later. Because if you are in that room, evil can't work. Not that people are bold enough, they are inviting you and sharing with you. And you come and EFCC comes to arrest people. You hear that Nathaniel, Moses, Michael, even Bishop Peter is part of those that are arrested. Let the testimony be that they arrested everybody in the office. They carried you with them. But at the end of the day, they say you are the only one who was innocent. And then you come back, they say, no, he didn't touch money. Let that be the testimony. So that even if you don't bring kingdom there, at least you show that you are a kingdom agent. That's what God is looking for. That's the heartbeat of the Father. And if we don't get to this level, our Christianity is fake. And everything we are doing is religion. There will be no reward for it. Ha, ha, hey. Hey, hey, ha. God. Kingdom. Make me an agent that carries your body. Grant me the power, the wisdom, and the grace to expand your influence, to advance the powers of your kingdom, to spread forth your presence in territories, in systems, in nations, and in my generation. Can you pray that prayer now? I don't want to be a non-entity. Everywhere I go to, let the government of God prevail. I'm not trying to survive. I'm an agent. I'm not a wanderer. I am sent. I carry a mandate to the nations of the world. Father, empower me tonight. Ah, hey. Ah, hey. Yeah. In a school some years ago, teachers will come to school around 9 a.m. and they will write 7:04. This is just names of attendance. It's not like they are doing anything, but they say in case they come from TSB, that's Teacher Service Board, in case they come, they don't want to check so that they know they come late to work. And so some of us show up. My house was far, so I used to come by 8:15. Because classes begin 8:30. They will do assembly from 7:40 thereabout. When I come, I will write 8:15. And you know the problem is that if you write 8. Another person can't write 7 again. So, teachers will be angry at you. They will come and look at you. Not only you, they serve God. Not only you will be Christian. They will be so irritated. People will pick problems, quarrels with you because you wrote the right time. They wanted to coerce us into their iniquity. When I discovered that was how it was happening, I now started writing it boldly. So a point came, anytime the vice principal comes, he will say, where is Oropo's name? That's the gate. If they check that time, this is the time. See, if you do it, they will know. And you know the problem? Even those fighting you, the day they have problem, they will now come to you. Man of God, my son is sick. Because they know that if you are able to withstand this pressure, it means God is with you. And that's how God begins to raise you up. The first revivals I started seeing was from that school. Students will be drunk in the Holy Spirit. A point came, there was a young man that was admitted and he was a terror. He was the nephew of the bishop. The bishop couldn't manage him, so the bishop sent him to the school. The reverend father, who is the principal too, was scared, so he was managing him. The boy, he will come and talk to teachers anyhow. What? Principal was afraid of him. They now knew that spirits are involved in this matter. So they went and told me. One day, he insulted a teacher, slapped another one. When they called me, I showed up in the disciplinary room. And I looked at the young man. They said, what happened? He stood. I said, kneel down. Why are you standing here? He looked at me with disdain and just hissed. I now turned to the man. I said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it out. That was when I turned to the young man. I carried a stick. Before he blinked, I finished it on him. As I turned again to carry the second one, he laid down and said, please have mercy on me. I said, there's no mercy here. You have brought terror to this school. I will break you publicly. That's how I dragged him from one class to the other. I flogged him in the presence of all the students. Round the whole school that day, when I finished, I sent him to the field. I said, go and dig a tree. He was panicking. He was afraid. They now called bishop. Usually, teachers will be afraid. Hey, they don't want to enter the bad book of bishop. I'm not an employee. I'm a messenger. I'm telling you, real life situation. They sent to bishop. When bishop heard it, he said, oh, so there's somebody who can tame him. Let the person be with him for some time. The guy ran from school. They said, what do we do? I said, leave him. The next day, he came back knocking around the gate. I told them to go and tell him to go back to the punishment I gave him. If not, if I catch him. That was how he ran to the field. I didn't plan for him to do that. But I broke him. From that day, the young man called Anagbe became a good boy. He will go to class, sit in front seat. He is taking notes. Let everybody tell Apostle Mike that he's writing notes. Kingdom influence. They will know that you are not ordinary. The problems they can't handle, you will become the answer. And as you do it, why do you think I operated like that? It was by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost told me, break him. It's not everybody you counsel with. Some people, you drive foolishness from their heart and you use the rod of correction. From that day, revival broke out in the whole school. And we gather students, pray, they will enter campuses, praying in tongues, baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. Nobody could say anything again. Because even the principal, what he couldn't handle, I handled it. But it began by writing name at the right time. It translated to breaking somebody that was a terror. It now broke into revival. And then you bring God's influence. Today, some of my students are in Russia. They are all over the world, burning for Jesus Christ. There were many people who went there. They couldn't do that because they didn't have the doggedness required to establish system. Listen, we are God's agent on the earth. We are not singers. We are not preachers. We are ambassadors of heaven on earth. And anywhere we enter, the influence of God must hit that territory. There are some you operate by miracles. There are others you operate by doggedness. All of it is the leading of the Holy Spirit. you must think colonization. You must think soul winning, and you must think intimacy. These are the things that endears you to the heart of the Father. Quickly, let me show you the blessedness of soul winning. Because some of you think soul winning is a church activity designed just to get people to come to church. Why do we win souls? Four reasons. Number one, soul winning is a commandment. Before Jesus went to heaven, Matthew 28 verse 18, it said, go into all the world and disciple all nations, teaching them all that you have received from me. Lo, I'm with you always. It's a commandment. The early church called it the Great Commission. So one of the areas where your obedience for Christ or to Christ is vetted is in the area of soul winning. In John chapter 20 verse 21, he said, as the Father hath sent me, he said, so also send I you. How did Jesus go about the errand? Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man walk. Jesus was about his Father's business. He started at the age of 12. He did it until he was on the cross. That's the passion with which you win soul, if you know it's a commandment. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 1, the Bible said he went into all cities and all villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So long as it's a known territory, Jesus went there. Because I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day. For him, it was a law. For him, it was a commandment. If you find a Christian who handles soul winning with a laissez-faire attitude, that person is not obedient to the commandments of God. I must. It is not something you do because you want to. It's something you do because it's a law and a commandment that you must obey. Why do we win souls or go about evangelism? Number two is a test and a proof of wisdom and maturity. In Proverbs 11 verse 30, what did the Bible say? It said the fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life. And it said him that winneth souls is wise. So when a believer begins to grow and grow in the wisdom of God, one of the areas you will know that truly this person has wisdom is in the fact that this person begins to deliberately engage the operation of soul winning. He prays for souls to be won. He goes out to win souls, and he gives for soul winning. Mature believers create time to win souls. Mature believers create time to pray for souls to be won. The Bible said Epaphras, Colossians 4:12, is one of you, a born servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayer. He wasn't praying for breakthrough. He said that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. In Galatians 4:19, Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayer until Christ is formed in you. You can't say you are mature and you are not giving and spent on the altar of soul winning. So you pray it, and then you go out. In Mark chapter 16 verse 20, the Bible said, and they went. They didn't just preach it, they went. And it said, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. And they went. Jesus went, the apostles went. You too must go. It's a sign of maturity. You pray it, you go out, and then you give towards it. In Luke chapter 8 verse 3, the Bible spoke about Susanna, Joanna. It said, these women, it said, they put monies together to sponsor the missions of Jesus Christ. When you become mature, you will create time to pray for souls to be won. When you become mature, you will create time to go out and win souls. And when you become mature, you will have a budget for soul winning. Either you are spending it to go out yourself, or you look at people who are dedicated towards it on a monthly basis. This is my portion for kingdom advancement through souls. That's what shows that you are mature. Women put their monies together. We can't go to where you are going to take. Go. I'm not saying do it here. This is an apostolic template. We teach people from different denominations. Wherever you are plugged in, if you know that they are genuinely winning souls, you must be part of those sponsoring it. You know what the Bible said? It said the Lord gave his word Psalm 68 verse 11. It says, great was the company of them that published it. There are people who give for the message to be heard. Do you think McDonald's is all around the world today just because they are strategic? It is powered by billions of dollars. Today, Coca-Cola is competing with the name of Jesus. There's no territory you go to that you won't find Coke. Why do you think it's so? They are not praying. They are sponsoring it. That's why the Bible said, my kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. When you tell people about giving for kingdom advancement, they come with all the nonsense and garbage. They want to take money. How much do you have? Something that has happened before your grandfather was born. Who told you if you don't give, it won't be preached? When God invites us to give, He's doing us a privilege. Because whether we do it or not, there are people that He has raised that will do it. But the thing is that if you do it, the Bible says you are wise. He said the fruit of the righteous is as the tree of life. He said he that winneth souls is wise. So that intelligence of withholding your time, withholding your money, not to advance God's kingdom, is foolishness. The Bible said to advance the kingdom, to win souls, is wisdom. So it's a sign of spiritual maturity. Why do we win souls? Number four, it is the proof and the seal of discipleship. Number three, a man who is discipled and trained showcases the excellency of his discipleship through soul winning. In John chapter 15 verse 8, Jesus said, hearing do you show yourself to be my disciples. He said that you win souls and that your souls will abide. If you are not winning souls, you cannot demonstrate that you are disciples. Hearing is my Father glorified, I beg your pardon, that you bear much fruit. He says, so shall ye be my disciples. You don't call yourself the disciple of Jesus by title. You show yourself to be the disciple of Jesus by your active participation in world evangelism. Which role are you praying? Are you playing? Are you part of those praying? Are you part of those going out? Are you part of those giving? If you are not, then what is your responsibility in the kingdom? Every one of us must have time to reassess ourselves. This life of looking for pleasure and rest, just fold your legs and you call on God when you have a need, it's a joke. God is raising an army. And I can tell you, there are those that day and night, they are on this matter. My brothers here will tell you, most of my travels for conferences, when I go, they give the honorarium, it goes straight to mission. I'm not traveling for money. And there are many journeys we go to, they don't even have enough money for our flight ticket. 2 weeks ago, I was supposed to go to Ghana with Pastor Godwin. They paid for our flight ticket. Let me show you the journey we've embarked on. We left Abuja for Lagos. We waited in Lagos for 2 hours, flew to Accra. We got into Accra around 1. By 3, we flew to Kumasi. Because the day we were going, there was no direct flight from Abuja. When we got to Kumasi, we drove 5 hours to Suriyama village. Suma is the headquarters, but the village is at something Suriyama. You know, what's the name of that? This place is 40 minutes drive to Cote d'Ivoire. That was the village we went to because the king invited us. And we went there. You needed to see my room. My executive suit. The best hotel in that place, this stage is heaven. The floor, they came to scrub it for apostle to enter, but we thank God. We were there for 2 nights. We finished preaching because we needed to leave there for Botswana. I finished preaching around 10 p.m. There was no flight from Suma before 7 because we needed to get to Accra by 8 in the morning to catch the flight going to Ethiopia to Botswana by 10 a.m. And the only flight from Suma, which is 2 hours from the village, was for 10:40. So before we board, they would have been boarding in Accra. So after preaching that night, tired, around 12:30 a.m., we hit the road and drove 5 hours back to Kumasi. So we spent our night in the car. The next day, we got to Kumasi 5:30 a.m., got a flight for 7 to Accra. When we got to Accra, we couldn't even catch the flight because the people who were supposed to send us visa from Botswana for God to analyze some of the visa processes. We stood at the airport. I took my money. We boarded the flight back from Accra to Lagos because the one coming to Abuja had gone. When we got to Lagos, we boarded another flight to Abuja. Spent almost 800,000. When we came to Abuja, the people were apologizing. Okay, no problem. Reroute my flight from Ghana to Abuja. Let me fly the next day. They said they don't have money. I had to book another flight that day with my money. And I flew to Botswana and preached. And as I, in fact, when I got to Gaborone, I drove 5 hours to Francistown. All of this is happening within 5 days. After preaching that night, the next morning, I drove another 5 hours from Francistown back to Gaborone. And then caught another 2 days flight to Ethiopia back to Nigeria. These two journeys we didn't collect on the radio. The people in Ghana didn't have. The people in Botswana didn't have. God bless you. At least you have given us a platform to preach Jesus. And so in 5 days, traveled for 4 days out of 5 days. And spent over 5 million just to win 1,000 souls. And somebody sits in his parlor. They say, all these men of God, they are traveling up and down collecting money. Their mind is darkened. They don't know what God is doing. I'm telling you where we are. It's a commandment. Apart from the fact that it's a commandment, it is also a divine strategy and a proof of our discipleship. The fourth reason why we win souls is because it's a channel for reward in the kingdom of God. In Daniel chapter 12 verse 3, see what the Bible said. It's a channel for reward. Some people will go to heaven and be naked. They will have nothing there because there's no investment. Did you read what Jesus said? He said, lay up treasures where thieves cannot break in to steal, where moth cannot enter to destroy. Lay up treasures. That means it's our duty to lay treasures for ourselves in heaven. Some people are crying from morning to night. What's the problem? I don't have food to eat. I don't have clothes to wear. If that is why you cry, you are a baby. There are higher reasons why we cry. One of the reasons we cry is to see men turn to Jesus. It's a channel for reward. It said, Daniel 12 verse 3, quickly. Let me show you. This thing transcends time. It goes into eternity. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So there are people who will shine forever and ever. What is the criteria? They that turn many to righteousness. Every time you have the opportunity to turn a man to righteousness, you just increase the brightness of your glory in eternity. All of us will not be the same. At the end of time, the level of glory we command will be different. Because of souls. Soul winning. You are won so that you can win others. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, it said, to wit God was with Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not in putting their trespasses against them. He said, but he gave them the word of reconciliation. So after you are reconciled to God, you are given the mandate to reconcile others. This is why we are here. Why do you think the moment we gave our hearts to Christ, we are not carried to heaven? Because there's a question in the spirit. It says, who shall declare his generation? We are the ones to declare his generation. And so every day and every night, necessity is laid upon us. Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's Paul talking. I am cursed if I am not part of those who are winning people to the kingdom of God. That's how serious this matter is as far as God is concerned. It's a channel for reward. How do you lay up treasures in heaven? One of the most potent ways of laying up treasures for yourself in the world to come is to be vital, a vital part of world evangelism. Don't treat it with levity. Listen, soul winning is not for evangelists. Don't make any mistake and say, oh, this person is called into the office of an evangelist. Oh, this person has the anointing for evangelism. So winning is for everyone. It said, to wit God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, but he gave them all that were reconciled. The word of reconciliation. Evangelists are supposed to coach others how to evangelize, because evangelists are part of the fivefold ministry, and the duty of the fivefold ministry, as far as Ephesians 4:11 is concerned and 13, is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work. So if you are working with an evangelist, his primary objective is to teach you the strategy for effective soul winning. If it has to do with soul winning, listen, compete with the evangelist. Win as more souls as you can. Don't leave it. It's just like prayer. There are some Christians who say prayer is for intercessors. You are joking. Go and read the whole Bible. The word intercessor is used once. Everybody is called to the ministry of prayer. It's called the prayer ministry of the believer. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 and 8, he said that all men, all, not some, lift up holy hands and pray. Prayer is for everybody. So willing is also for everybody. There is an error today. Listen, as a ministry, people partner, we organize crusades. But if you are thinking Apostle Mike will be on the stage every day preaching, you are joking. Brother, start from your street. It's from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. I started from my own street before God gave an organized institution. Start from your street. Yes, when we win souls here, you partake of the blessing. Paul said you have become partakers of my grace because you gave for it. But you too have the record of who you told about Jesus and came into the kingdom because of you. Those days when they trained us, they taught us. They said if you come to church, look around. Find out how many people are in church because of you. That's when your presence matters. When you look at somebody manifesting, just smile. People will not know why. I know where I got him from. The day I won that one, he was drinking Star Lager beer. Today, he's prophesying. You'll just sit back and say, thank you, Lord. You know what Paul said? He said to raise men as an offering to God. So when three people are singing in the choir, you look at them, you know where you won that other one from. She was going out prostituting, you were driving, you stopped. You spoke to her, she thought you wanted to take her home. You preached Jesus, she repented. Today she's leading the choir. You just nod your head. When you are saying glory to God, your own glory to God is deeper than the other brother who is just lifting his hand, acting religiously. Your glory to God means this prophet is my seed. This apostle is my seed. This choir director is my seed. This intercessor is my seed. And the reason why this light is shining. You think you'll be the same? We'll be the same in heaven? No, we will not. He said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayers, until Christ be formed in you. Soul winning is a commandment. Soul winning is a channel of reward. Soul winning is a proof of maturity. And soul winning is the seal of discipleship. What are the blessings that come with it? Number one, exceeding power or supernatural operation. The Bible said in Mark 16:20, it said, and they went. It said, and the Lord walking with them. The Bible didn't tell us God was walking with the ones who didn't go. The Lord was walking with the ones that went. That's why some of you have been Christians for 15 years. You have never seen headache healed. You have never seen deaf ear open. You have never seen blind eyes see. And you are wondering, all these miracles they are talking about so easily, is it true? It's true. The reason he looks face to you is because you don't go out. The day you go out, you'll be shocked that you too carry power. Our mama here traveled with us to Cameroon. She thought she went there to hold people who are falling down. When the lady came out, and you know, it's in the field that the work becomes too much. When Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, you will not understand. There were about five of us. Over 1,000 people were thronging to be prayed for. So when people were coming to be prayed for, who was standing with her? I forgot it, maybe Pastor Apostle George or something. And she was waiting to hold somebody. George said, no, here there's no holding anybody. You too, you are part of the army. Lay hands on somebody. And she came and touched the person in the name of Jesus. Boom! Power threw her down. What is going on here? Am I also anointed? She went to the second person in the name of Jesus. Power threw her down. She now gathered herself. When she went to the third one, she said, such as I carry. Such as I carry. Aha! So you know you too carry something. When you go to the field, you will know. Such as I carry,
And a point came, she was stretching hands. People were going down. Some persons received miracles because she prayed for them. You don't go to the field. That's why you think you are not anointed. And then we have garbage doctrines today. One man stands on the altar acting as if he's the beginning and end of the anointing. No! The Bible said not many days from now you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So anybody who is a witness will see the power of God. You carry too much power. You have not just gone to the field. Brothers and sisters, step out and see what God can do through you. Did you not read in Luke chapter 10? The Bible said Jesus sent babes out. Babes. How did I know? When they returned, they were celebrating. Oh, Master, even the demons were subject to us at thy name. And Jesus said, rejoice not that they are subject to you. He said, but rejoice that today your name is written in the book of life. And when Jesus turned to pray, he said, I thank you, O Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed it to babes. So babes were casting out demons. Babes were working miracles. Why? Because they went out. Every one of you hearing me here, go out. You'll be shocked that blind eyes can open, that cancer can dematerialize, that deaf ears can open. It's not for an apostle. It's not for a prophet. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. And I do double well. Ojo du dabu wano Ori mi diye Akata ki mi diye Ene du dabu wano Ojo du dabu wano Ekara kapata Ori mi diye Akata ki mi diye. You know, there's too much packaging in church. When you come here, if you climb up, they tell you, talk for 15 minutes and walk to watch is going. They tell you, make sure you do. When you go out, you are wise. Iba. Anything the Holy Ghost wants to do, you are there. You can go somewhere, you want to start preaching, and the Holy Ghost say, command the demon to go out. You can go somewhere, you want to start talking, the Holy Ghost say, lay hands on the person. There's no protocol there. There's no excellence, courtly people, you are let loose so that you can demonstrate the power of God. I remember the first time we started going out to preach. We went somewhere, a woman was bedridden. They said a bishop had prayed for her, a prophet had prayed for her, and here we were. We didn't even know the doctrine of healing. And we came, so we started praying in tongues because we didn't know what to do. We were just praying in tongues. Kakateria, Baragata, Sutakapak, Patakubara Diata, Arida Kapakatada, Ragabanda. After a while, the room started charging. The room started charging. The woman began to move. Somebody tapped me and said, she didn't move. When we saw, woman, Ibelua teke kakudua, Aveva Gadura Kataka, Erigatadaga, Barako, Bakato. As we were praying, after a while, she started behaving like a dog. That was when I discovered, Omo, we carry something. I approach her, I say, you devil, in the name of Jesus. The woman jumped up, a woman that was bedridden, and she started moving like a dog, barking like a dog. I say, in the name of Jesus, come out of her, come out. After a while, she struggled, and slept off. I walked out like a preacher. I told the people, when she wakes up, give her something to eat. I strode away. You don't know what you're carrying. Somebody shout! If Jesus sent out babes, it means nobody is not qualified. Every one of us is qualified and ready to go out. You may not start with mass crusades. Start from your Jerusalem. Start there. Start from your Judea. Go into your Samaria. The testimonies will shock you. Sometimes people will tell you they are healed. You will say, no, go and see a doctor. Even you will not believe what you will see. Because the moment you go out, you become God's extended arm. Because the ranks are depleted. God is looking for men that are willing. Go out. There's a blessing. And the blessing is that you will start walking in the power of God. He said, and they went. And the Lord walking with them. The Lord walking with them. Every time you go out, the presence is guaranteed. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, he said, when you go, disciple one nation. And he said, lo, I will be with you unto the end of the age. You can't go out and be alone. It's not possible. And they went. There are people carrying power here waiting to manifest. I prophesy over you. Every dimension of God locked on your inside, it breaks open now. And they went. Tell yourself, I will go. And I will see the power of God. Because I'm baptized with power. And they went. The second reward of soul winning is greatness. In Psalm 68 verse 11, it said the Lord gave his word. It said great was the company of them that published it. Great there is in two dimensions. Number one is that you will become numerous. Too numerous to number. I came to Abuja as an individual. Today we are a tribe. Tomorrow we'll be in every nation. The number keeps growing. Did you read about the apostles? Acts chapter 2, verse 47. 3,000 was added. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. 5,000 was added. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. A great company of the priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 13, 47. The whole city went to them. Great was the company of them that published it. The number keeps growing. And as the number is growing, the second aspect of the great happens. Because some will be lawyers, some will be doctors, some will be pilots, some will be military generals. So the second dimension of great is that the quality of the gathering will start changing. After a while, you will discover that this congregation that used to look for 100,000 to do crusade, now every week they are doing crusade with 10 million. And you are wondering, where is it coming from? They become mighty. You know why? God will be breathing upon that congregation and it will be increasing the lives of people. A sister came to me recently. I prayed for her. She didn't know where her money was going to. The little she was gathering, she didn't know what was happening. What is going on? I can't account for my money. She now plugged herself into what we are doing. After a few months, she came and with audacity. I'm telling you, this thing is not about looking for big men. Forget it. God makes men. He said, follow me, I will make you. God makes men. Don't go and look for, oh, senators must come. If they come, thank God. Because God is interested in everybody. But even if they don't come, see, the ordinary men that you are seeing will become mighty. He said, 400 broken and battered men went to David in Cave Adullam. They became the mighty men of David. Few months later, same sister comes to me. Apostle, God has been good. Even her utterance has changed. I just want to thank God for the little he has done for me. What is the little God has done? She wants to drop $10,000 to support mission. You know why? These things don't lie. If you plug yourself into it, the Holy Ghost will empower you. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth. There is a power that God puts in you if you are part of those advancing his kingdom. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth, to establish his kingdom. You may have nothing. Give yourself and see what your life will become. You will be shocked. You will literally not believe it. Because the Lord gave his word. Great. You become great both in number and you become great both in possession, in quality and in essence. There was a time when we were trusting God, if God will help us to have one boss. The people I prayed with, we gathered together, we spoke about it, we prophesied and prayed. Ask wisdom. 3 weeks ago, I said, it's time. Go to Lagos. And we ordered four buses once. We didn't even tell the church about it. Did we tell anybody here, so seed for bus? No. 4 buses once. Because capacity keeps increasing. It can't be the same. It can't. Great was the company of them that published it. I prophesy over someone, the seed of greatness will erupt in your life from this service. Let me add one as I stop. The third reward for soul winning is increased glory. It's the day that turn many to righteousness, they shall shine like the stars forever. See, as you are doing this thing, the glory of God on your life begins to increase. See, people love you, they don't know why. Some want to kill themselves for you. You are wondering, why are people so affectionately disposed towards you? It's the glory of God. And see, as this thing increases, there's nowhere you go to. In the last 2 years, there's no place I've gone to and I've been around that place for 5 to 10 minutes that at least one or two people have not come to either greet me with joy or give me a gift. Across the nations, we finished apostolic invasion and we were just walking to enter my car. There was a white lady and her fiance. I think they just got married or something, and they came around the environment just taking pictures. And the lady told, "Is that Apostle Michael? Really? Oh my God, I want you to touch me, Apostle." I said, "Be blessed, be blessed." There's a level you enter, skin color no longer matters. The glory will cover it. The place I went to preach in Zambia 4 days ago is the wife of the man of God that got me. She's a Filipino from the Philippines. Every day she sat on the messages. The husband came and said, "Who is this person that has taken my wife's attention?" She said, "Honey, you gotta see this guy. You gotta see this guy." And the man saw me. The whole family was glued. The glory of God. They put me in a hotel in Zambia. I just came out to say farewell to my host and go back. They cook. When they look at you and start doing like this, know that they are. How is it possible? Oga ran all the savings he had, 100 kwacha. They carried it and came to my room and knelt down. "Sir, please, 1 minute. Bless me." You don't know what God has put on your life. He said, "You are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid." He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but you have to arise to shine. Arise, shine. Arise, shine." There's the glory on your life. The problem is that you have not arisen. And one of the ways to arise is to let your light shine by converting men. He said, "Let your light so shine before men so that they see your glory and give praise to your heavenly Father." The glory of God is the reward for soul winners. We are out of time. Lift your right hand towards heaven. One prayer tonight. Father, make me a soul winner. Pray that prayer now. In 1 minute. Make me a soul winner. I'm tired of this barren life. Is there any branch that is barren? He said the Father will cut off. He said, "But the branch that is fruitful, He will grow, that He may produce more fruit." Kataka patara kataya, zete de kaparak, rahila parak, zete de kapatoa, zete de kaparakatida, riaka takatoria, baraka rakatida sandakaya, ora rakai.
Who is calling my name? Jesus is calling my name. Jesus, if you call my name, I will answer a billion times.
You are not praying like somebody who is passionate. I don't know the kind of power you want to handle. I don't know the kind of greatness you are trusting God for. I don't know the kind of glory you want to carry. But if there be a desperate man here who wants power that the world has not seen before, greatness that the world has not seen before, dimensions of glory that has not been handled by man, you will pray, Marakoa, Zabaka Sida Bagataya.
I am a soldier. Call my name, I will answer a billion times.
A prayer point. Oh Lord, heal me. It's not a prayer point. Soak yourself in God's service and see how God will surprise you. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. Do you know the kind of burden I have? The Bible says Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. He said the whole city. See, we have not grown until we enter a city and the whole city. The Bible was not exaggerating. The whole city was full of joy because one man came. That is stature. That is glory. That is greatness. That is impact. That's what God wants to do with us. When Jonah entered Nineveh, from the palace to the animals, the whole nation fasted because one man came. Jesus spoke about John. The Bible said when he cried in the wilderness, he said the whole of Jerusalem, the whole of Judea went to him. And Jesus said he was a great, a burning and a shining light. And he said the whole generation went under his light for his season. I want to pray for you. There is a level of greatness you will command that when you are in a city, the whole city can rally around you. There's a level of glory you will carry that when you enter a nation, the whole nation can rally around you. That's why the Bible calls us the light of the world, a city set upon a hill. Every one of us have the stature of a city. How can a city be begging for food? How can a city be begging for money? How can a city be begging for what to eat? In the name of Jesus. There's an anointing here tonight to make generals. There's an anointing here tonight to raise men of capacity. Capacity that can subdue nations. Capacity that can subdue cities. By the message of God, I have tested of it. It's not by power. It's not by might. Father, everyone here that you are giving that ordination to become larger than cities, the grace for greatness, the grace for power, the grace for influence, the grace for speed, the grace for favor on ground, online. Take that grace now. Carry that unction. Step into that dimension. I release that power. Makatakaparas. Men with stature of cities. Men with ranking that can rule over nations. Mekaria, Barakata, Sandava. Ushers, bring them here. I want to lay hands on them. Marigo, Parados, Pekarada, Susana, Bataria, Gatak. In the name of Jesus, carry that unction now. Carry that grace now. Step into that dimension.
Ali, ali, yo. Ali, yo. Ali, yo. Ali, ali, yo.
Ali, ali, yo, 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 ali, ali,
church once again. Mandates have been given to the church once again. For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the princes to arise, for the priests to emerge. Ali, Ali, oh!
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 Ali, Ali, oh! Hear this. Some of you, the grace will come upon you in form of utterance to preach. Some of you, the grace will come upon you in form of financial empowerment. While some of us are talking, others will be sponsoring. So when one man receives utterance and he speaks and a nation hears him, another one will receive financial power and he can sponsor a program that can affect a nation. So it's not just preaching. There are all of the dimensions of the empowerment of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I stretch hands over you now. By the rod of a higher priesthood, I decree now, step into a higher dimension of grace. Step into a higher realm of possibility. Step into a higher realm of operation. In the name of Jesus, I come to you by the shofars of the prophets of old that spoke over generations by the power of the Holy Ghost. Step into a new realm. Step into a new ranking. Step into a new dimension.
Is the mighty of the Lord.
By the Lord, by the Word, by the Spirit,
we are
standing on the highest mountain.
The mountain of the Lord.
The mountain of the Lord. By the Lord, by the Word,
by the Spirit,
we are
standing
on the highest mountain.
The mountain of the Lord,
by the blood,
by the
blood,
by the
Spirit.
Mountain
of the Lord,
take this handkerchief, lay on them for me. Ere kaparia parakata, vanaka pata, rahila parado tavakana. Alelatuna parataya, Iba Kasodo, Parakados, Tabakai, the Santatina, Parakatina Kapakatoa.
Ah,
Eya Yakataka Pata.
We bring light to that generation.
We are children. We are kings. We are men.
We ascend the highest mountain.
In the mountain
of the Lord.
By the blood.
By the blood.
By the word.
By the
Spirit.
We ascend the highest mountain.
In the mountain of the Lord.
By the blood.
By the
blood.
By the word.
By the word.
By the
Spirit.
Those of you graduating, lift your hands toward heaven. This is your hour. You have not come to just be a part of a religious movement. You have not believed cunningly devised fables. God sent us to a generation, and the evidence are there. Now I speak over you in the name of Jesus the Christ, such as I carry. Every one of you graduating this night, such as I carry, on ground, online, I release it upon you now. Receive that grace. Receive that grace. Utterance, power, speed, favor, prophetic direction, miracle working scepter. By the Spirit, carry that fire now. Go and lay hands on them. Go and lay hands on them. All of you, come to us. Marapatakapaka.
Generation.
We bring order. We are chosen. We are kings. We are
free. We bring order.
We bring
order.
We bring
fire.
We bring order. Vakataya. Those of you following online, graduates, and those connecting alike, In the name of Jesus, step into a new apostolic order. I release that grace upon you now. Carry that fire.
The hit of Baro Kabaka.
Thank you, Father. Please lift your hands toward heaven. I began by telling you, when God does anything, it is global. It is universal. And when God does anything, it's transgenerational. It abided forever. There are three categories of men God is raising now. Number one are those who carry miracle working power. Powers that nations cannot reject. Powers that the rulers of this world cannot withhold. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have allowed us to test a bit of this dimension. And now you give it to us as a people. On ground, online. In the name of Jesus. Others, if the hand of God come upon them, bring them to the altar here. By the Spirit, everyone hearing me, carry that power now. Take that power now. Carry the grace, miracle working power. Take it in the name of Jesus. Powers that will open the globe, open the gates of the nations. Verafi Kapira. Bring them to the altar. Bring them to the altar. Varis Karak. Dadadara Dadiga Pakash.
Gloria Elihu.
In the name of Jesus, please hear me. Let these words enter your spirit. They will make you. He said he sent his word and healed them. He said he sustains all things by the word of his power. We are not orators. We are witnesses of dimensions in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, hear this. The second grace that is coming upon people is grace for financial empowerment. For some of you, it will come by wisdom. For some of you, it will come by favor. For some of you, it will come by strategic partnerships. And for some of you, it will come by possession of positions of power in the nations of the world. Because God wants to raise kingdom billionaires that have the power to advance global agenda. Hear this. In darkness, there are men who sponsor global agenda. They are called the globalists. They can rise up today and say, we want to reduce the population of the world. It's by financial power. We need men in the kingdom that have financial power enough to shift things at the level of the globe. In the name of Jesus, my God, that mantle is resting now. On ground, online, the power to get wealth. The power to get wealth. The power to get wealth. Us just bring these ones to the altar here fast. In the name of Jesus, carry that grace now.
We will never be the same without your grace.
Take that power. The power to get wealth. Manlo Rafa Katonis.
We will never be
the same. We've touched your grace. Our life is changed.
Aye,
aye, aye, aye, aye, aye, aye, aye, aye, aye, aye,
Bagakatani Nagapakata Rapata Sauvage. Some of you hear this. You don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your salary. I'm talking about a power to get wealth. Some of you will step into the realms of millions of dollars. You will handle millions of dollars. It may not look like it. The Bible said you were a desolate land. It said no man went through you. It said, but I have made you an eternal excellency. The joy of many generations. A desolate land can become the joy of many generations. In the name of Jesus, receive the power to get well. Carry that grace now. Carry that grace now. Carry that grace. Hiya, hiya, hiya. Go and write this date down. For some of you, before half of next year, you would have broken into a realm where nobody in your lineage has entered before. Every yoke limiting your potentials, every human structure or system undermining your rising, I come to you by a superior operation. The anointing of the Holy Ghost and the rod of the Melchizedek priesthood as one called to function in that order. I decree, rise now and shine.
Sound of the heavens, sound of creation, Yahweh, we release,
we release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation.
We cry holy,
holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. We cry holy. In the name of Jesus. Finally, the Lord wants to exonerate some of you from battles and warfares. You are carrying yokes too heavy. You are contending forces too mighty. And so strong men will go down. Gangs will scatter. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone here under the weight of a battle, too strong for his faith, too strong for his consecration, too strong for his priesthood, I decree under this corporate unction, every battle is hereby ended. I command the gathering to scatter. I decree over you, step into your liberty now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
My food to be full.
I carry your presence everywhere. Who am I?
You make me so full. Oh, hey!
What a man, awesome. What a man, awesome.
You
will not suffer my food to be full. I carry your presence everywhere. Who am I?
You make me
so full of me. Thank you, Father. Your life will never be the same again. Some of you will step into encounters you've never had before. Some of you will step into doors of opportunities that have never been opened to anybody in your lineage before. In the name of Jesus, step into a higher experience. Step into a greater level of opportunity. Step into higher dimensions of power. I decree and I declare over you, be blessed. You will end this year in glory. Nothing will cut you off. Nothing will cut off your family members. Nothing will cut off the lives of your loved ones. In the name of Jesus, I decree, you will end the year on a great note. You will end the year on a glorious note. And your life will shift into higher dimensions of glory. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and honor the name of the Lord. Our time is fast spent, so we have to cut off the administrative modalities of the benediction. This week, you will step into blessings that your mouth cannot explain. In this week, you will have encounters that will define the rest of your life. May your name be mentioned in high corridors of power. May you be remembered for good from the courts of heaven. I decree and I declare, every blessing meant for this decade that you are not yet able to access, receive it now. From glory to glory. In Jesus' precious name. We are rounding up now. This week, we will be in the nation of Zambia. From 12 to 14, we are taking off on Tuesday at the Olympic Development Center. Those of you who are in Southern Africa, I'll be there to meet with you on Tuesday. Make it a date, and the Lord will change your story forever.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.